This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. There is a line of snow this morning extending from the Bismarck area southeast all the way to Mankato and on to Cedar Rapids, Iowa and Champaign, Illinois. In our region, the biggest impact will likely be on the North Dakota-South Dakota border with up to 6 inches of snow in the forecast. After this first wave, another winter storm is predicted to happen this weekend and into early next week. There are some forecasts of another 6 to 12 inches of snow, especially in southern North Dakota.
Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Blake Rafferty says the second system could hit harder depending on the track.
That one could be a more impactful. Looks to be a stronger system, but depending on the track it takes, either the heaviest snow will stay more east and south of us, or it'll end up in our area.
After a warm and open winter, NDSU livestock and beef quality specialist Lisa Peterson is reminding cattle producers to plan ahead for this weekend storm.
It's been such a nice winter. Thankfully, our producers have really been through a couple really bad winters, and so it's been really nice up to now. And you know, I know a lot of folks are probably calving in our area and maybe starting to lamb as well. And so just remembering that, you know, we are kind of back in this winter pattern. It looks like some pretty significant storms can be headed our way. And so just wanted to visit with you about giving some reminders to prepare for these things and maybe some things that we should be getting ready and have on hand.
Peterson says keeping newborn calves dry and warm is critical.
You know, I always say that probably the wet and cold is worse on those calves than the cold because it just gets right down to their skin and they lose that insulating factor. And so if we do need to warm up calves, we always suggest that you warm them up first and then you feed them colostrum or milk if they've already had a colostrum diet within them. And they need to have that colostrum before, you know, definitely the first 18 hours of life, that colostrum is so important.
The Federal Reserve voted to not change interest rates following their March FOMC meeting. Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson said the Fed continues its cautious approach.
Yes, they did. They decided to leave rates alone at 5.25% to 5.5%, the same as it's been, at a 19-year high. But he did mention that they're looking to have 3 rate cuts later this year if inflation gets under 2%, which it's still a fair amount above that. But they must have confidence that prices are going down. So that was the other big news.
The White House is out with new rules for tailpipe emissions for most cars and pickup trucks purchased between 2027 and 2032. To meet these standards, 30 to 40% of all light vehicles sold in 2030 would need to be electric. National Corn Grower Association President Harold Woolley said this rule ignores the role of biofuels and will hurt farmers and rural communities. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score said ethanol is a proven American-made solution, but the EPA may be leaving biofuels on the sidelines.
American Soybean Association President Josh Gackle testified at the House Agriculture Committee hearing on China. As the United States considers action to protect its national security interests, Gackle says it's also important to protect its economic and trade interests. The Cullom, North Dakota farmer said all efforts to modify or repeal China's permanent normal trade relations status should be rejected.
ASA is very concerned that revoking PNTR for China would have severe consequences. In 2018, U.S. soybean exports to China were among the first agricultural commodities targeted for retaliatory tariffs. And if past this prologue, it is entirely possible that U.S. soybeans would be impacted yet again.
Gackle also spoke in favor of a farm bill that meets the needs of American agriculture and the need for new trade agreements.
A coalition made up of bakeries and a restaurant group have filed a class action lawsuit against sugar producers, including United Sugar Producers and Refiners Cooperative. American Crystal Sugar Company and Mindac Farmers Cooperative are among the members of United Sugar. This federal lawsuit was filed in Minnesota and alleges price fixing and a violation of antitrust laws. In a statement, United Sugar said this case has no merit. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Minnesota Board of Animal Health says a goat that tested positive for avian flu is the first of its kind. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
How big of a surprise was this transmission of avian flu to a mammal, and were there any expectations that HPAI would show up in other species?
This was certainly a surprise, a unique situation, not completely unheard of. The first time it's been diagnosed in a goat, but we have seen it in other mammalian species, just kind of aberrant infections, we consider those. I think the DNR has reported a case in a bear, I think several skunks, fox, and in other mammalian species. So it's unusual, but not entirely unheard of.
What does this mean for the rest of the animal agriculture in the state, and are there implications for the poultry industry?
We really are considering this kind of an isolated case. We don't suspect that this is a harbinger of worse things to come, that this is an indication that we're going to see widespread infections in other mammalian species. We typically consider mammals to be a dead-end host for this virus. However, we also consider it a reminder that biosecurity is essential in controlling this disease. So we're on the cusp of the spring migration. We know the virus is still circulating here, and also will come back in some fashion with the birds that migrate from back south. So biosecurity, biosecurity, biosecurity. We want to make sure that we are not exposing our flocks, backyard or commercial, to any of these kinds of exposures. And in light of this current situation, let's also make sure we keep our livestock separate and sequestered to maintain that biosecurity. So isolating your bird flock from your other livestock is a good idea for this virus and other diseases that could potentially cross species.
What are the next steps here, Brian?
The next steps are this facility has been cleaned and disinfected. We're going to continue monitoring. Fortunately, there have been no more cases at this farm, in spite of their kidding season continuing. So the last death attributed to this virus was earlier in March, and they've had several happy, healthy goat kids since then, and no additional concerns.
That was Minnesota State Veterinarian Brian Hafes. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
A bill that triggers a full environmental impact statement for farms with more than 10,000 animal units was reviewed by the Minnesota House Environment and Natural Resources Committee yesterday. Minnesota Farmers Union President Gary Wertisch testified in favor of this bill.
Our members do have questions about what a natural disaster, emerging animal disease, a human disease that affects workers, or other disruptions would mean for such a large operation. And finally, as I mentioned, I think more about the social and economic effects that are more fully addressed in an EIS.
Darren McBeth represented the Minnesota Milk Producers Association, speaking against this bill. McBeth described the current environmental regulations as robust, and a mandatory EIA would just add cost and time to any project.
To say to a dairy enterprise from another state or western Minnesota that has seen its share of dairy expansion in the last 20 years that you're not welcome in Minnesota would be sending the wrong message at a time when our farmer-owned dairy processing plants are already struggling with what the future holds.
The bill was held over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill later in the session.
USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service is investigating the NDSU Meat Lab for an alleged violation of humane handling practices. The case involves an incident that happened at the end of February when an animal was improperly stunned before slaughter. The NDSU Meat Lab has taken corrective action and implemented preventative measures. USDA is reviewing that effort.
Milk production in the 24 major dairy states totaled 17.4 billion pounds in February. That's up 2.4% from 1 year ago. In Minnesota, milk cow numbers dropped 7,000 head in the past year, but milk production rose 1.5%. South Dakota had the biggest increase in milk production, up 14.8%. That was helped by an addition of 19,000 cows to the state's dairy herd.
For the full fiscal year, Titan Machinery had net income of $112.4 million. That's up from nearly $102 million a year ago. Fourth quarter revenues in the agriculture sector were up more than 40%. Titan is based in West Fargo.
Leslie Oden will take over as president and CEO of the National Turkey Federation in July. Oden will succeed Joel Brandenberger, who will retire after 17 years leading the organization. Oden is now the organization's senior vice president of legislative affairs. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. El Nino is fading as expected. NDON Director Daryl Richeson is quick to remind that climate patterns are based on three-month averages, and because of that, we likely won't know if we're in a La Nina until September.
The thing to remember is technically El Ninos and La Ninas and whatever's happening in the Pacific Ocean are three-month averages. And so what's happening on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis doesn't necessarily get things changed, but things are changing. El Nino is fading away, and we will be transitioning to La Nina again. We had one for 3 years. This one probably won't last 3 years, but it will be with us, especially in the latter half of the summer, this upcoming autumn, and very likely the 24-25 winter. We'll either be under a weak or maybe a moderate La Nina moving forward.
And moisture was up this winter in the Red River Valley.
We had the second wettest winter on record in the southern Red River Valley. We're not really dry. We have two storms coming that's going to add moisture. Northeastern North Dakota has gotten quite a bit of moisture in recent weeks. So I really, at this point, would have a tough time saying anyone's really all that dry. Our average precipitation from November through March, those 5 months, is the same that it is in the month of June alone. So our winters are historically not all that wet. This past winter, really, many areas wasn't as dry as I think people made it out to be. And again, second wettest winter in Fargo, I think, in all of the Southern Red River Valley, is quite wet.
Richeson speaking at NDSU's gearing up for the 2024 growing season this morning at the Langdon Research Extension Center.
The Brazilian soybean harvest is now 62% complete. That's slightly ahead of last year's pace. The Brazilian agency CONAB also reports the Safrina second crop corn planting is 92% complete. The newly planted corn will likely benefit from the rains forecast for the central and northern Brazil region over the next 10 days. In markets, we have some green on the screen. We're 4.5 higher for Minneapolis wheat. The May contract at 659.5. Chicago wheat for May, a 4 cent gain, and we're just a fraction better for KC wheat for May. May corn, 3 cents higher, 442 is the quote. New crop corn, also 3 cents higher. May soybeans, 3¾ cents higher, 1213¼. And new crop soybeans, a gain of 4¼ cents. Checking in on the farm calendar, Thief River Falls Radio has their farm breakfast coming up Saturday morning. That will start at 7 o'clock and go through 10 o'clock again. That's at the Eagles Club in Thief River Falls. Also on the farm calendar, the NDSU Soybean Symposium, taking a look at innovation, research, collaboration. That will be held on the 27th Wednesday of next week, an all-day session. It'll be held in Fargo. And the Irrigators Clinic going on in Minnesota on Thursday of next week, March 28th. That'll be held in Alexandria. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.